Good morning. Today is Tuesday, December the 7th. Joining us this morning,
the 6th.
Natalie. Did I say 7th?
You did.
Man, I even looked at the calendar over my shoulder and wrote down 6th and thought, tomorrow's the 7th.
Yeah, tomorrow's the 7th.
You know, I guess that was that last moment reference there.
Yeah, I suppose so. But it was a bit of a sneak attack moving ahead to the 7th.
Yeah.
But bump.
It's the 75th, so
Have you been to Pearl?
Yes. Went there the one time.
Yeah,
and all the references to Arizona is very unsettling for me.
Yeah.
That was the only thing that I... A lot of it was cool historically, but going over the boat.
Yeah, and seeing the bunker oil still seeping.
It's
so moving to me. I mean, I've been out there twice, and
emotionally, kind of chilly willy too.
Yeah. They say that the bunker oil will stop seeping when the last survivor of the Arizona passes. That's the.
Well, that guy came out with a new book. Was 94 years old.
Yeah,
it's on the list. That's on my list for Christmas presents, if anybody cares.
That's Brian
Papstein,
PAP.
1101 Marsh Road. Our quote this morning comes from Maurice Freehill. Quote, "Who's more foolish, the child afraid of the dark or the man afraid of the light?" Ooh.
I like that.
Yeah. So... I guess in the financial world of tax preparation, you're our guiding light.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, tax season, you know, there's a lot of getting to work in the dark and leaving in the dark kind of thing. But
and being in the dark all day long, too. I know that.
Yeah. Well, I can tilt the blinds and get a little natural light. But, there are days people come, I'll say, so what's the weather like outside anyway?
Yeah.
I haven't been here.
Is it up? Is it down? Yeah.
I haven't been outside since 4:30 this morning.
Oh, gee. With the election that has happened since we last got together, is there any impact at all for this filing season? Do you anticipate, or is it going to be kind of the same as it's been the last years?
Yes and no. I mean, the conventional answer is no. There's nothing any different. The tax law, there's not a lot of change in the law. We did get some of the what we used to talk about was the extender legislation. We talked about that every start of December,
It's kind of been a rite of passage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that a lot of that stuff was made permanent. And so we don't have that same, let's wait and see when these pieces of law are going to be passed and, you know, what we can do with them. So that's kind of nice. I guess the other thing is that we don't know.
Can you tell we're live again this morning?
Yeah. We don't know.
The 7th and is.
What it is that basically we don't know what the tax law is going to be next year. So you might make some decisions if we knew what a new administration was going to do that might have some bearing on how we you made some decisions right now. So to that extent, there is some potential, some decision-making that might be colored by potential changes.
We'll talk about inklings when we come back. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Bill McCullough.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back to talk shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Oh, I love Gremlins. I really do. Yeah. Maybe this is getting even with me for making my comments about garden gnomes Saturday morning.
You need to be careful. Understand that these things all have consequences, Brian.
Okay, fair enough. Oh, Inklings. Yeah, this is on you now, Betty.
Okay. Wait a minute. Let's go back to the other topic.
What inklings do you have about what President-elect Trump is talking about? It seems like there's discussion of cutting corporate tax, which would be, I guess, a nice stimulant. I am saying I guess because I haven't experienced one of those in the 10 years that we've been running the store. Yeah, that's more of a mom and dad thing. What does something like that look like or feel like?
Well, it kind of depends, as always. But if currently the top end of the corporate tax rates are 35% for federal purposes. So, you know, with a tax affecting the value of the California deduction, you know, most corporations who are fully taxed are paying a fully loaded tax rate of about 40% between federal and state. So if you're, a corporate business, a C corporation, and you're a tax-paying corporation, you are going to, if you're making good money, you're going to be paying tax at about 40% unless there's some other way to avoid that. That's one of the reasons we've seen all these corporate inversions where corporations have left the United States and inverted and gone outside the United States to avoid the basically one of the world's highest corporate tax rates. And so Ireland has benefited because there's a lot of companies that have gone to Ireland.
The beer?
And left
that easy this morning?
Yeah, that easy. There I go. Okay. Did you say beer?
Yeah.
Squirrel? So what you're seeing is now people are trying to understand what's the new president's idea is going to be in terms of corporate taxation. And President-elect Trump has made some indications that he'd like to end the inversion process where U.S. companies leave the United States. So it's going to be fun to see what happens.
But he's also bringing back tariffs. They're talking about bringing tariffs back. So that's the kind of the balancer on that?
Right. And what I think you're looking at is a reduction in the corporate tax rate from 35% down to something. Now, some people have said 15%. Some people have said 20%. I don't know where that number will come down to, but they're talking about reducing the corporate tax rate, which would dramatically reduce the incentive for U.S. companies to invert and leave the United States. And it may cause some companies to wish to come back. I don't know.
Have there been, I guess it would be called a leaving or export or whatever phrase you want to use, of manufacturing businesses, manufacturing jobs, but what about those that are gray matter? Have they also been international?
Yeah, exactly. You're seeing tech companies that have gone international, and sometimes that doesn't mean they really necessarily moved that many jobs. It just means that they've moved where their home country is, and how they're being taxed. And I don't pretend to be an expert on international taxation, and I don't feel like I'm really qualified to comment on the pros and cons of corporate inversions and what those impacts are, other than in a very general sense. So I think we are going to see a Trump administration seeking to put a flag in the ground and say no more. You know, we're going to try to stop this by making our corporate tax rates more competitive. Right now, we're not competitive in the world.
And so not a forgiveness, but a competitive.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, you mentioned C Corps.
Correct.
There are a bunch of other business entities.
There are.
Are all of them teed up to benefit from this, or is it just the C Corps?
It's mainly the C corporations, which is most of your multinational corporations. I mean, to be an S corporation, which is a different taxation structure, you have to have a very confined number of shareholders, and that shareholder limitation is enough to mean that most companies that make an S election and are taxed as an S corporation are small by nature and much smaller than what we're talking about in terms of the multinationals. But it may be if the corporate rate goes down to 15%, some people who've made S elections and have been taxed as an S corporation may want to flip back and go back the other direction. Now, keep in mind, if you're an S corporation, the shareholders are taxed on the earnings of the company, regardless of whether those earnings are passed out to the shareholders or not. If in a C corporation, that's not the case. The shareholders are taxed for dividends and maybe through salary or other payments from the company. So it's a different structure. We don't know exactly how that's going to work yet, but I think conventional wisdom is there's going to be some inroads made to reduce the corporate tax. And I think you're probably right. The offset's going to be some tariffs and some other revenue raisers.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's...
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, and by the Salvation Army. Corporate tax really sounds pretty pedestrian if you're not a corporate. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
but there are ripples.
There are ripples.
It was intriguing for me to hear somebody having their, I guess they're called aha moments now, with the pipeline discussion in the Midwest. Okay, if it's not going under the river, they'll reroute it, do whatever. But all of the associated jobs connected to that project, or military, and all the job infrastructure development, all those jobs, I guess maybe we've gotten away from thinking economic impacts on things in the last little bit. So something like this that is a tax incentive for corporations, I would think that the manufacturing community and the unions would be all excited if this means that companies are going to be either healthier for stock returns or be more liquid so they can purchase some of these deferred maintenance items that they've not had that opportunity for the last 8 to 10 years.
Well, I think the other thing is that economic growth for the last 8 years, 9, 10 years, has been, I mean, it was negative at the end of the Bush administration, and it's been anemic through the entire Obama administration. You know, we have gone through 8 years of recovery, and the needle hasn't moved very far. You know, normally there's some boom in there. We haven't got any boom. We just got not bust. And so what you're seeing is and of course, now that's been 8 or 10 years. I mean, where are you in the economic cycle? Is there, is a recession looming just because they come? But you can measure these things. You look at the Fed funds rate, and you realize, that the Federal Reserve has been so reticent to increase, make a 25 basis point increase in the prime rate because they're concerned about the impacts on the economy.
If our economy is
going to be impacted to such a great degree by a 25 basis point increase, then the economy is on pins and needles. And, so anyway, it's just, and that's been we've been going through this. We've been sitting on basically zero in terms of a prime rate for a long time. I mean, you know, there's not much more room to go downward other than eventually to go negative. I mean, we have had a 25% basis point increase last year. We're going to get one here in December, and you know, we're artificially holding these rates down because the economy is so tenuous. So maybe by doing things to juice the economy, we can get some real growth and get our economy back on a more solid footing that has less government interference, particularly as it relates to the Federal Reserve. Ultimately, we're going to have to pay back all that money the Federal Reserve borrowed to put things afloat back, you know, heels of the recession.
So when President-elect Trump is talking about $1 trillion into the infrastructure, roads, bridges, airports, economic stimulus, tax hammer.
Both?
Net plus, net minus?
It's a great question. If I knew that, Brian, I probably wouldn't be...
You'd be going to New York and go riding the elevator up?
Yeah, I might be doing something different. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's for smarter people to figure out in terms of what's going to happen in terms by economic stimulus. You know, is it going to result in enough economic growth that we get tax revenues that offset the additional cost of all this public spending? I think we can all agree. I mean, shoot, drive around Eureka. I mean, find a road that doesn't jar your. I mean, our streets are not in good shape, and you know, there's a most of our infrastructure we can't even see. It's underneath the ground in sewer pipes and water systems, and I mean, not most, but a big chunk of our infrastructure is stuff we don't look at, but we sure rely on it to work when we need it. And so, you know, the infrastructure projects. Certainly, you know, there's a reason why there's a need for them. There's a question: is does that infrastructure spending create enough economic growth that it doesn't hammer you from a spending perspective? I mean, our deficit continues to go up. It's gone up, you know, it's doubled under the Obama administration, basically, very close to that. And so, you know, we're now in some pretty stratospheric levels.
Deep waters, yeah. A hedge for the coming year, would you say it's going to be a stronger year and hedge it that way? Or are you telling your guys, wait and see?
I think we're at a wait and see point. I think everybody's making their own assessment independently based upon what they're doing and what their particular business circumstances are. But it's tough to know what's going to happen. I don't have that great a crystal ball. And
well, we'll see if we can shine that up during the break then.
All righty. Sounds like
either that
fun.
Or my head, one or the other. Yeah. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:41.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning. Whoa. If anybody is driving Humboldt Bay, there is a killer rainbow out there. I mean, like, light it up. Now, slide on over.
Can I get on your lap?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That is the right one.
It's amazing what you see when you look outside. You know, we start with the weird and we end with the trivial.
But yeah, thanks for letting me sit on your lap like this, Brian. Yeah. That's really cool.
So what is there that's out there that we need to do as reminders, whether it's business guys and gals or as individual taxpayer guys and gals, that might end up being beneficial for us?
Well, this is the time of year where you're trying to do your tax planning, and if you're a business, you're probably out trying to determine how much money you've made so far this year. Considering your basis of accounting, if you're a cash basis of accounting, that's you have a separate set of considerations if you're on the accrual basis of accounting. But you probably should be assessing where are you and what have you done year to date, and are there some tax mitigation strategies you want to deploy? Because income's up, you may need to consider, hey, is there some equipment we want to to get in and place into service here before the end of the year, so we can have the ability to deduct some additional hard costs for things that we need. You may be thinking about bonusing and other strategies. You may be thinking about strategies to control your income. If you're a cash basis business, you may be trying to say, look, we may not send that bill out until the end of December because we know that they pay 10 days later. And if I send it on the 26th of December, then they'll send me a check 10 days later and it'll be in January and I won't have to recognize that income. See, those are all legitimate strategies that a person might utilize to try to reduce their tax burden. If you're an individual, you're going to want to do some of the same kinds of things. You know, we want to think, is this a good time to make some charitable contributions? Because you want to make sure that you've got extra itemized deductions this year because your income's up. If your income's down, maybe you say, hey, we're not going to do so much of that, and we'll wait and do it in January so that we bunch it into the next year. If you're on the cusp of being able to itemize your deductions, then bunching strategies make sense. You know, maybe you try to push all the medical stuff and maybe more of the charitable contributions into 1 year, as opposed to spreading them out equally over 2 years with the idea that maybe you'll get more bang for your buck in one of those years. We just want to be thinking now about what are the normal things. You know, some people pay their property taxes and they pay both halves because that allows them to do that. It's a one-time kind of a benefit. But,
commitment.
Yeah, it does. It may mean that you kind of feel the need to do that every year. So those are the kinds of things we want to think about at this time of year.
Thanks for coming by.
Been a pleasure. Thank you, Brian.
And the rainbow's gone. So are we. See you tomorrow.